32 victims groups representing 150 bereaved families have accused the British government of abject failure in addressing the legacy of the Troubles. The Pat Finucane Centre and Justice for the Forgotten made in the allegation in a full-page advert in today's Irish News. Dealing with the past remains one of the most serious challenges facing Northern Ireland. The latest storm in talks could not agree a way forward. So is there any chance of progress? Sinn Féin's Declan Kearney is with us this morning. Declan, morning to you.
Morning.
Good morning. And Geoffrey Donaldson from the DUP. Good morning to you, Geoffrey.
Morning, Stephen.
So we know that a way forward couldn't be found on this. What happens now, Geoffrey?
Well, Stephen, we do have a potential way forward in the form of the Stormont House Agreement. And for our part, the DUP stands fully behind the proposals that were agreed last year. We made progress in the talks insofar as we now have draft legislation to give effect to these proposals to establish a number of bodies that would include a mechanism to investigate some 3,000 unsolved murders in Northern Ireland and other mechanisms that are designed to assist and support victims and survivors. Our view is that what we need to do now is for the government to publish the draft legislation, and I think the victims and survivors should now have their say. The political parties had the opportunity. We were very close to agreement, so close, in fact, that I think it would be a travesty if we didn't now proceed, and therefore it's time that the victims and survivors had the final say on this.
Declan Kearney, people listening at home, they probably, some of them won't understand the basics of this in terms of why can't this happen? What's stalling it? What's the logjam?
When we negotiated the Stormont House Agreement a year ago, mechanisms were approved by the two governments and all the parties for how we could deal with the legacy of the past. And in the most recent negotiation, Stormont House Agreement Fresh Start, those mechanisms were once more agreed as being our best way forward. When we get into the negotiation in relation to the legislation that would oversee the implementation of those mechanisms, the British government broke their promise and they reneged on their commitment to, along with everyone else, commit to full disclosure. And that's the jam that we're in. That's the logjam. That's the problem. And what's required is for the British government now to lift its veto on truth disclosure.
So even if it compromises national security, Declan, you want full disclosure, do you?
And fix what is presently proposed as bad draft legislation.
My question, Declan, was even if it compromises national security, you want full disclosure, do you?
Well, Sinn Féin actually brought forward proposals during the negotiation in order to get around the hook that the British government had placed itself on. And on the basis of goodwill, common sense and a respect for international legal standards, which is what the victims and survivors have said in their advertisement today, we believe that it is in fact possible to move forward on this issue. Sinn Féin, you see, proposed two options in order to get around this difficulty. We said, firstly, that full discretion should be given regarding the release of all information to the director of the HAU. Or secondly, we proposed the adoption of an international and independent panel that could adjudicate on the disputes that might arise around disclosure issues. There is a reasonable, there's a practical, there is a fair and acceptable way forward. And that will have the assent of many victims and survivors' families.
So
national security doesn't have to get in the way of this. In fact, The national security shield, so-called, is a lie. It's untrue, and it is not a basis for continuing to block our way forward in dealing with the past.
Clear one thing up for me. You're asking for national disclosure from the British government.
Information disclosure.
Are you information disclosure from the British government? But you're not offering, and you're not advocating, full disclosure for victims of paramilitaries, are you?
The Sinn Féin position has always been that the best way forward would be on the basis of an international, independent truth recovery process. We've compromised on that by agreeing with the mechanisms proposed under Stormont House. And we've compromised once more in relation to those mechanisms by saying that there is, in fact, a way to get around this particular block.
Yeah.
National security should never be used as a reason to withhold.
No, but my question is about disclosure from the paramilitaries, Declan. And there are no... The British government may well hold files, but the IRA probably doesn't.
Let me short-circuit that. The Sinn Féin position is absolutely unambiguous. Republicans will contribute and participate fully in any independent truth recovery process. That has always been the case, and that remains the case at this point in time. The people who are refusing to move on the issue of information disclosure, at the heel of the hunt, the people refusing to move are the British government and the British military establishment.
Geoffrey?
Well, Stephen, I sat at the negotiating table and I asked Sinn Féin a direct question. I asked them, in relation to, and remember, over 60% of the murders committed in the Troubles were committed by the IRA and their associates. So I asked Sinn Féin, the leadership, will you disclose, you talk about full disclosure, will you disclose to the victims and survivors the names of the people, the IRA members, who murdered their loved ones? Now, that's a fairly basic question, Stephen. If we're talking about truth, that's a very basic question. The Sinn Féin leadership said no, they would not. And the IRA would not disclose that information. So when I hear Declan talking about the others being signed up to full disclosure, that's true. That is not true. It is misleading. The IRA have not signed up to disclose to the innocent victims who murdered their loved ones. That is not full disclosure.
Well, this needs sorted, Declan.
As Geoffrey
in that
said,
there needs to be clarity as to what you agreed and what you didn't agree.
Well, you see, Geoffrey will play the game of whataboutery, which he's just done, and I think that is an entirely disingenuous way to approach this discussion.
But whataboutery, it's about being accurate. What he has said is true.
And secondly, he will misrepresent the negotiation. Now, the Sinn Féin position is unchanged. It's unchanged from we actually launched our proposals for an international independent truth recovery mechanism, and we've compromised in those positions ever since in order to try and find a way forward. Is Geoffrey saying that he does not recognise within the two options presented by the Sinn Féin leadership on the basis of consultation with many victim and survivors' families that ways through this impasse would be either to ensure that there is full discretion given to the director of the HIU in relation to the release of information, or alternatively, the setting up of an independent international panel to adjudicate on disputed issues around disclosure? Is Geoffrey saying that that is not a viable way to get around this difficulty? Because if he's saying that it's not, he is defending the indefensible.
You will respond to that, Geoffrey.
Well, I think what is indefensible, Stephen, is that we have an organisation and its spokespersons who berate the British government on full disclosure. And that same organisation, the Republican Movement, is absolutely refusing to disclose the information that would help the innocent victims to get justice. Now, I think any reasonable person listening to this, and, you know, Declan can talk all those big fancy words, but what he cannot do is answer a very simple question. And I put it to him now on this programme. Will the IRA provide full disclosure to the innocent victims? Will the IRA disclose to the innocent victims who murdered their loved ones? That's a fairly simple question, Stephen, and a full disclosure
in return for immunity, Geoffrey.
Well, that's not on the table, Stephen. That is not on the table. What we're talking about here is full disclosure. What we're talking about, and Declan used these words, is truth and justice. The two go hand in hand. That's what he has called for. That's what Sinn Féin are calling for. That's what I'm calling for. And I'm asking a simple question of the Republican Movement. Are they prepared to provide full disclosure to the innocent victims? And I mean full disclosure, not a half-hearted approach, not what happened with Savile, where Martin McGuinness got up and said he was under some kind of code of silence. He couldn't tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I'm not talking about Smithwick, where the IRA did not cooperate to the full in providing information. I'm talking about if the Republican Movement want full disclosure, then what does full disclosure actually mean? And I think to the layman, it means telling the truth.
If you want someone to walk up, because I doubt the IRA, UVF, whoever, paramilitaries on both sides. I doubt that they actually kept written files of what they did, Geoffrey Donaldson. So you want individual paramilitaries to walk up, essentially put handcuffs on themselves because you're not providing immunity in any way, and describe the killings and the crimes that they took part in?
Stephen, what I'm not prepared to accept is an unbalanced process which requires of the British state that they declare everything that was done in their name, all of it, everything. And bear in mind that of all of the killings that occurred in the Troubles, 10% are directly attributable to the British state. 90% are attributable to paramilitaries. Now, what I want to know is how can we have a balanced process when Sinn Féin, on the one hand, demand full disclosure? Yes, they want soldiers put in the dock. They want policemen put in the dock. But what they're not prepared to do is have their own volunteers.
Do you believe that the state should be disclosing everything they participated in, Geoffrey Donaldson, including the dirty little secret war, as some people would describe it? Well, collusion, for example.
The British government has offered to make full disclosure to the Historical Investigations Unit. Where there is a problem, and it's a legal problem, Stephen, is that if that information is then put into the public domain in its entirety, the result of all of that will be to compromise the details of agents and informers, people who were providing information to the security forces, and we've seen what happens. When that information is put in the public domain, people get killed. The case of Dennis Donaldson is a case in point. So that is the issue.
So you don't support full disclosure either then?
There is full disclosure to the HIU, but I believe there are solid and sound grounds on national security. Bear in mind, Stephen, today we're dealing with a very serious terrorist threat. Now, those terrorists are not blind to the fact that if we put out into the public domain everything about how our security services and our security forces operate, that will actually assist terrorists today to conduct their activities, and we need to understand that. But, Stephen, I think there is also a valid argument to be made, and I've made it this morning, that it's rich of Republicans to demand full disclosure in the public domain from the state. And when they were responsible for over half the murders in Northern Ireland, they themselves are not prepared to offer full disclosure to the innocent victims. And what I'm saying is that at this point, I think we've got an impasse, a political impasse, that we should put out the draft legislation for consultation and let the victims and survivors have the final say.
And by the way, Geoffrey, before you go, your party agreed to immunity for ex-paramilitaries, didn't you?
No, we didn't.
Well, as I understand it, under the Stormont House Agreement, families of paramilitary victims on both sides will only get disclosure if ex-paramilitaries individually agree to come forward and tell what happened in return for immunity. And that's what the DUP signed up for.
No, it's not, Stephen. It is absolutely categorically not the case.
So am I wrong?
You are totally wrong on that. I was involved in the negotiation. There is no immunity from prosecution contained within the Stormont House Agreement. If the Historical Investigations Team or the police have evidence that can secure a conviction, there is no individual who is immune from prosecution.
Well, I'll tell you where I'm getting this from. I'm getting this from the Stormont House Agreement. I'll read a quote.
Yes.
The ICIR will not disclose information provided to law enforcement or intelligence agencies, and this information will be inadmissible in criminal and civil proceedings.
Yeah, that is not immunity from prosecution. Go on to read the next paragraph, Stephen.
Well, it's immunity for that information. Will be inadmissible in criminal and civil proceedings.
Read it all, Stephen. Come on. Let's not be partial. Let's not mislead people out there who are fearful of these things. Let's tell them everything.
Will you tell them?
I will tell them. The Stormont House Agreement goes on to say that no one is immune from prosecution, that these provisions do not render any form of immunity from prosecution.
The DUP have agreed to immunity for information given to the ICIR. I'm reading this.
No, they haven't, Stephen, with respect.
Stephen,
I can absolutely assure you now that those provisions do not provide for immunity from prosecution for any individual in Northern Ireland. The Stormont House Agreement is absolutely explicit on that point. It spells it out loud and clear.
And what's your understanding, Declan, before you need to go, about immunity for the ICIR?
Stephen, the position is very clear. There is a mechanism for maximum information and truth recovery, and there is a mechanism to deal with the issues of justice. And Sinn Féin is absolutely wedded to taking forward all of the mechanisms that we agreed under the Stormont House Agreement. Now, Jeffrey's over a barrel here, and I understand that, because he's trying to defend the indefensible on behalf of the British government that should be on your programme. Theresa Villiers should be on this programme justifying the position that her government has taken to, on the one hand, having made a promise to full disclosure, and now it has reneged in the context of the most recent negotiation. This issue of truth disclosure, it's an international issue. This is a balanced process. It is Article 2 compliant, and it can observe international standards. The European Human Rights Commissioner, Nils Muzniak, said in November 2014 that the British government was in breach of the European Convention on Human Rights by not conducting effective and independent investigations into state killings. So there is a way around this. The British government should get back to doing what they should do. They should become human rights compliant, and they should address the needs that are reflected in the advertisement appearing in today's paper from victims and survivors.
And Martin McGuinness won't be using codes of silence, Declan Kearney. He will be saying everything out loud, no codes of silence being used by Martin McGuinness to not disclose information.
Republicans have committed to assisting with and participating fully in the mechanisms that have been agreed under the Stormont House Agreement. Now, the people who are pulling back from their commitments in that regard are the British government. I think that's a shame, I think it's a disgrace, and I think they need to change their position. And it would be much, much better if Jeffrey stood alongside our party and all of the victims and survivors in pressing the British government to change that position. We now have a situation where the British government is preventing the mechanisms from being put to work. That's another huge injustice being heaped upon the families of victims and survivors. And the net effect of it all is to create a setback for dealing with the past, and it's frustrating the work of those of us who are genuinely committed to development, reconciliation and healing in the North.
OK. Declan, thanks. I know you need to go. Jeffrey, you need to go too. I'll leave the last word to you, Jeffrey.
Yeah, well, paragraph 49, Stephen, of the Stormont House Agreement states, and I quote, "No individual who provides information to the ICIR will be immune from prosecution for any crime committed." And I just want to be absolutely clear.
Yeah, but the information given to the ICIR will be inadmissible in criminal and civil proceedings.
Not immunity from prosecution, Stephen. Let's understand.
The information is, how else can you prosecute someone if the information is inadmissible?
Because we have two processes. Even Declan Kearney just admitted that. We have two processes. We have a proper investigative process, which will investigate every single unsolved murder.
Sure.
And where there is evidence to secure a prosecution, no one, and I repeat, no one, Stephen, will be immune from prosecution.
I understand that.
And we do a disservice to the people who have suffered so much already when we mislead them and misquote.
I'm not misquoting anything.
We are partial in how we report these things, Stephen. With the greatest of respect, let me be absolutely clear, because this is such an emotive issue, and we should not play on the emotions of people out there.
Well, Jeffrey, then let me give you 60 more seconds to make this clear. What other mechanism is there for full disclosure other than the Independent Commission on Information Retrieval? In other words, the ICIR. This is the mechanism. And if someone uses that mechanism to disclose information about what they did or did not do, that information, as agreed by the DUP, is inadmissible in criminal proceedings. It's inadmissible in court if it's the information that has been given to the ICIR. Correct. You signed up to that.
Stephen, the process, the ICIR is not the only system for full disclosure with respect. There is an historical investigations unit, and that unit will investigate all of the unsolved murders. And it is entirely open for any individual to come forward and provide information to the HIU, and it is clear, absolutely clear, that no one who has committed a crime in the Troubles in Northern Ireland will be rendered immune from prosecution. And the Stormont House Agreement makes that absolutely clear, and it makes it clear both in the section on ICIR and on the section dealing with the historical investigation.
Okay. And I'm giving you more time here because I don't want you to say that I misled anyone. So in a scenario where an ex-paramilitary, let's take someone, and by the way, it could equally be someone from the UVF, UDA, whatever, but let's take a scenario, Geoffrey, where someone from the IRA approaches the ICIR and they say, I killed that innocent Protestant. I shot him through the head. The DUP have signed up to the identity of that ex-paramilitary will not be disclosed by the ICIR, and the DUP have also signed up to that man confessing to murdering that innocent Protestant. And I stress this could happen on the other side too. The DUP have signed up to that information not being admissible in court, that information which was given to the ICIR.
Well, Stephen, first of all, that's not the way the process will work. The process is led by the victims and their family, not by the paramilitaries. So the first thing that will happen is that a family approaches the ICIR and requests information about the murder of their loved ones. That is entirely their choice, Stephen. And let's be clear about that. Unlike the HIU is a mandatory process. All of the unsolved killings have to be investigated.
And the prospects for prosecution are limited.
Well, and Stephen, in the end, that's the case with all murder investigations. You have to get the evidence to secure a prosecution. That's the way the world works. And to be Article 2 compliant, to be compliant with both domestic and international law, you have to have an investigation. Now, so that is a mandatory process. The ICIR is an entirely voluntary process, and it is led by the families. If the families decide, and look, this is not a process or a system, Stephen, that we think is going to offer much value to anyone in Northern Ireland. Let's be clear. And the reason for that, Stephen, is I don't believe the paramilitaries are going to provide full disclosure. And therefore, I'm not going to mislead people out there and build up their hope and create an expectation that I think is not going to be met. The paramilitaries are not going to tell the truth. That's the bottom line here, Stephen. But there were victims and survivors.
So full disclosure is a myth. It's not going to happen, in your view.
I don't think it will happen. And there were victims and survivors who asked for some kind of a process whereby they could approach, through an independent body, the paramilitary organisation who murdered their loved one and receive information on a confidential basis.
In return for immunity.
No, it's not, Stephen, with respect. And again, I urge you, please, because this is, you know, every time this happens, we have people out in the community, people who've suffered, who then get it into their head that there is immunity from prosecution in Northern Ireland. That is not the case, Stephen. And I'm sorry, but I have to emphasise this again and again. A paramilitary who comes forward and provides information to the ICIR will not be immune from prosecution. If the HIU,
the information they give to the ICIR cannot be used in court.
If the evidence against that individual, they are most certainly liable for prosecution.
Sorry, that is true. Hold on a minute. Absolutely, you're right there. That is absolutely true. If the information can be derived in a separate investigation, information that hasn't come forward already, by the way, or that person would already be arrested, charged and convicted. So, you see, you're right, but I'm right too. So unless the police can find that information in a different way, in a separate way, new information, the DUP have absolutely signed up. The word that you've signed up to is will be immune.
No,
it's in the paragraph. I'll read the full paragraph 49.
Yes,
the ICIR will not disclose the identities of people who provide information. No individual who provides information to the body will be immune from prosecution
Correct.
For any
Thank
crime
you,
committed
Thank
should
you.
The required evidential test Thank be satisfied. You. Here's the key bit, Geoffrey. By other means.
By investigation, Stephen. You have to have... You can't prosecute people without a proper...
But there's no chance of that in most cases, or else those people would already be charged.
And let me say something here, Stephen. I think this is really important.
Yeah.
Let me be clear. Right? I will not be encouraging any victim or survivor to go through this process unless they are absolutely clear that there is no prospect of prosecution by means of an investigative process. Why do I say that, Stephen? Because I think that This process will create an expectation that cannot be matched, that people will end up having information and they will not, and the police will not have a prosecution. And unless a victim and survivor is, and remember, this is a voluntary process, Stephen.
Yeah.
And this was asked for by the world. I accept there are victims and survivors out there who generally have come to a point, maybe years after the murder of their loved one, where they have a very low expectation of there ever being prosecutions of their of the people who murdered their loved one. And what they have said is they would like to have an alternative process that enables them to get some information about the murder of their loved one. And, Stephen, again, I have to be clear. That does not mean that the people who murdered their loved one are immune from prosecution. And you've just read the paragraph that makes
that
clear.
Well, I have read that. But I'll also read, just finally, Geoffrey, I'll also read paragraph 46. The ICIR will not disclose information provided to it to law enforcement or intelligence agencies, and this information will be inadmissible in criminal and civil proceedings.
And that's why, Stephen, as I have said, if people, and bear in mind the prosecution process, the investigative process, will go ahead regardless. And I will be advising victims and survivors to put their trust in that process, because that's the only hope they have of getting justice. However, if there are families, if there are families who have a low expectation of getting justice, but who want to seek information, and it will only ever be partial information they will get, Stephen, I don't believe the paramilitaries will give full disclosure, as I've said on this programme. I don't believe for one moment that the innocent victims will be told who murdered their loved ones. I don't believe they will get detailed information. And therefore, I will not be encouraging those victims and survivors who still want to pursue prosecution. There is a route that will be open to them. It's the Historical Investigations Unit. That's the route they should take. There is no immunity from prosecution. That is the best way for them to go. This other route, which is not an alternative to prosecution, Stephen, but which is about sharing information, I really do not think that that is going to resolve what the innocent victims want, because they will not get full disclosure.
So why do you agree to it then? Why did you sign up to the ICIR then?
Because in the end, Stephen, I listened to what victims and survivors tell me. And there were some victims and survivors who have said, look, we have a very low expectation of getting a prosecution. In fact, I'm aware, Stephen, of cases where the victims and survivors believe that the people who murdered their loved ones have themselves either died or were killed during the trouble. So they're not going to be prosecuted because they're not here. And some of those families have said to us, we still want to try and find out as much as we can about what happened to our loved one. Now, Stephen, am I going to stand in the way of those families having that opportunity? I'm realistic about it. Do I expect the families will get full disclosure from the paramilitaries? No, I don't. But should I stand in their way, Stephen, if that's what they want? That's why I am saying, that's why the DUP is saying today, that we should put this out for consultation and let the victims and survivors have the final say on this.
Okay.
In the end, these proposals are for them, and I think they should be the people who determine how we go forward.
Okay. Geoffrey Donaldson, thank you.